Morning, everyone. I was asked about a month ago if I would do the talk for this morning. And as I was thinking about the church and the times that we're going through, a particular song came to my mind. In 1943, a lady called Ruth K. Jones, a pastor's wife from Pennsylvania and mother of five, was really upset when she read the headlines in her local Pittsburgh newspaper. She saw the World War II casualty lists and she knew that the Allies were making very slow progress through the lower part of Italy. Supplies at home were rationed and everyone was feeling the strain. She was reading from her Bible in 2 Timothy chapter 3, where Paul says, "You should know this, Timothy, that in the last days there will be some very difficult times." And maybe that's a reference to our times too, that are incredibly difficult. And a song began to compose itself in this lady's mind. She jotted down some lyrics on a small pad that she kept in her apron pocket. A series of notes also was playing on her mind. And only later did she realise it had come from the old clock on the mantelpiece with its iconic Westminster chimes. Soon the notes and music came together to become one of the best-loved gospel songs of the 1940s and 50s. In times like these, you need a saviour. In times like these, you need an anchor. And you know, I'm sure that that's something to say to us at this current time. We need something to really settle our hearts and lives. And this seems to me to epitomise the current crisis. In these times of uncertainty and unfamiliarity, we need assurances. We need to know that things aren't going to change too much. And praise God, we can have those words of assurance from Scripture. We can really anchor into some solid rock. And I had no idea what Ray was going to talk about last week, as he had no idea what God was going to put into my mind. But here again, we are focusing on the rock. Isaiah 54 verse 10 says this, "Though the mountains be shaken and hills be removed, yet my unfailing love for you will not be shaken." And that word love in the Hebrew is hesed. And I owe a debt here to one of my favourite Bible teachers and theologians, Lois Ferberg, because she talks about this particular word, he said, and says that there's nothing in the English language that comes close to an equivalent for what this Hebrew word means. It's so rich and so deep. It talks about a love that cannot be broken. It's very rich and active word. It's more than mercy. It's more than loving kindness. It's built on God's covenant relationship with us. Unshaken love means that he will always stand by his commitment to us. Hesed isn't just cheap forgiveness of sins or a disregard of God's law. It is the gracious forgiveness that comes from love that is so enduring that it persists beyond any sin, always seeking to forgive. God will never fail us. He loves us, and we can anchor firmly into that assurance and that promise. The current crisis has indeed made much changes to our lives. Things that we've assumed we could do, we can no longer do. We can't have meals together with friends. Wedding ceremonies are cancelled. We can't even go to the football match. And we're doing things that we never could have imagined doing before. We're actually cleaning items as they come into our homes. We're standing 6 feet away from our own friends and family. And we're not doing many things we expected that we would always be doing. Gathering together in groups, visiting relatives, commuting to work, being church. Education has shifted to homes. Loved ones have been hospitalised and indeed some have died. So coronavirus has shaken everything that we have been thinking of. and it means that we're off balance and uncertain, and some are grieving and lonely. So in this time, it's particularly important that we consider and celebrate the things that this crisis cannot touch, the rock, the unchanging, unshakable reality that hasn't changed, that according to the Bible, they cannot change and never will change. Things that were true before coronavirus will remain true long afterwards and forever. One theologian says they are massive pillars sunk deep into eternal bedrock, and we can stand on them when much else we relied on has been shaken. Let's consider some of the things in particular that haven't changed. First of all, our God hasn't changed. God the Father, Son and Holy Spirit is utterly unchanging in his holiness, in his righteousness, in his glory. Revelation 1:18 declares, "I am the Alpha and Omega, who is, who was and who is to come, the Almighty." Praise God. And James tells us every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of change. Yes, our God remains the same. Hebrews 9:14 says, "Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today and forever." God the Father doesn't change, Jesus Christ doesn't change, and the Holy Spirit is called the Eternal Spirit, one without change. Our God will outlast the heavens. The Old Testament tells us that. It says in Psalm 102, verse 26, Of old you laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you will remain. They will all wear out like a garment. Praise God, our God will remain. He won't wear away. He has been and he will be and he always is. Everything about our God is changeless. And in a time when everything that we have hung on to in our society has been threatened, yet we know that our God is changeless. And God's word hasn't changed. Everything that the Bible said before coronavirus is true. And everything that God says now is true and remains true. His word is as sure and firm now as it ever has been. Isaiah 40 verse 8 says, "The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of God will stand forever." Praise God, we have a God who has given us a word that is unshakable. Psalm 119 verse 89 says, "Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly fixed in the heavens." And 1 Peter 1:23 says, "God's word is living and abiding and imperishable." Isn't it wonderful to know that we can depend utterly on the word of God? A farmer was once asked what he did in times of storm when he couldn't get out on the land and work. And he said, "Well, I'll go inside and I'll sharpen my tools." He was from Yorkshire, you see. And, you know, there's not much that we can do in way of evangelism, in the way of comforting one another, in the way of meeting, in the way of having together shared fellowship. But there is another thing that we can do, and that is sharpen our tools. And our tool is the Word of God. And if we want to be ready for that time to come when things will be back to normal and we can share our faith with others, then it will be that we have spent that time sharpening our tools. And sharpening our tools mean reading the word, learning what it says, getting ready to respond to other people's needs from the word of God itself. So that's a lovely little story of how we can think about using this time in a really profitable way. And God's love is unchanging. God made a covenant with us that he would love us for all time. It says in 1 Chronicles 16 verse 34, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love," and it's that same word, hesed, he said, his steadfast love endures forever. God's love goes on and on and on. Deuteronomy 7 verse 9, "Know therefore that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. Isn't it amazing? God is unchanging in his merciful disposition towards us. For I, the Lord, do not change. Malachi 3 verse 6. God's love for us, a love which he also produces in us by his Holy Spirit, is one of those unchanging, imperishable realities that goes on and on. So God's love is permanent. Be assured, folks, that even in this time of difficulty, God still loves us, still cares for us, and he still has things in mind for our future. So we've had three things. God remains true, God's word remains true, and his love remains true. And God's purposes remain true. God still has a purpose for each one of us, and we can be certain and confident that he has something secure for us in the future. And whatever our lives may go through, that's an anchor that keeps us safe. We have this steadfast and sure anchor to the soul. Hebrews 6, verse 17 to 19. Worth having a look at that if you get a chance to spend some time. You know, have a good look at Hebrews chapter 6. It begins with the words, "Therefore, let us leave the elementary teachings about Christ and go on to maturity." You know, this is an opportunity for us to get hold of God's word and really grow in him. And then it says in verse 13, "When God made his promises to Abraham, since there was no one greater for him to swear by, he swore by himself." And it goes on further to say, because God wanted to make the unchanging nature of his purpose very clear to the heirs of what he has promised, so God's purposes are going to be made clear to us, he confirmed it with an oath. God did this so that by two unchangeable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to take hold of the hope offered to us may be greatly encouraged. So here's our encouragement, folks. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain, where Jesus, who went before, has entered on our behalf. Isn't that wonderful to know that we now can enter the Holy of Holies because Christ himself went there in advance for us? And we can be greatly encouraged because we have this anchor, firm and secure, that we are part of the purposes of God. There's another wonderful old song. It says, "We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll, fastened to the rock that cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Saviour's love." Be assured, folks, that during this time, God isn't going to change. God's word isn't going to change. God's love for us isn't going to change. God's purposes for us aren't going to change. And our Lord Jesus Christ is there in heaven interceding on our behalf, ensuring that God knows about us and that our case is kept in his mind. You know, lots of people have been really upset by this crisis. Their lives have been in upheaval. But we have something that many people don't have. We have this assurance that sinks deep into our hearts that our final destination is to be with him. We are not citizens of this earth, as I've said many times before. We are citizens of heaven. We go to a new place, a city that is to come. We have an inheritance which is imperishable, undefiled and unfading, kept in heaven for us, says 1 Peter 1 verse 4. A notable theologian, thinking about this particular passage, came up with this wonderful statement: unshakable believers with unshakable realities produce unshakable Christians. And he said, yes, we're scrambling about, we're hurting, we're adjusting, but we have some precious truths to hold us absolutely steady in this crazy world. Let's get to grips with what God has for us. Let's hold on to him and know that whatever comes our way, we are solidly fixed in God's plan, in God's purpose, in God's love. Heavenly Father, we thank you because you love us. We thank you that nothing can move us. We thank you that we are totally secure in you. We thank you that our future is totally secure, that we know we are destined for glory. We know that our lives are firmly fixed in your hands. Thank you, dear God, for loving us. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for forgiving us. Thank you for continuing with us. We pray, dear God, that you'll bless each person who is listening to this and touch their lives, reassure them that they are safe in you and that all things will work together for those who are called according to your purposes. So bless us, we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask. Amen.